Hey everybody, Andrew Colvett in for the one and only Charlie Kirk. In this massive hour, it's such an important episode. We have Rich Barris. We go state by state. We break down the gender divide. Are women going to be the hidden vote in this election? Are they going to come out for Kamala and surprise us all? What can we make out of early voting? Do Nevada and Wisconsin correlate? Can we draw any conclusions from what we're seeing in early voting in Nevada and apply it to Wisconsin, and so much more? Then we have Mike Davis, Article 3 Project, and Maureen Bannon, CEO of the War Room, talk about Steve Bannon post-incarceration. We also talked about the lawfare strategy of the left and what Mark Elias might have planned. If you love this content as much as we like making it, please consider joining members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com. Become a paying monthly subscriber. Join our growing community of insiders. Ask questions directly to Charlie. Get exclusive access to a weekly column just at members.charliekirk.com and so much more. Please consider joining it. It would mean the world to us. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
I do want to tell you all about a really important Supreme Court ruling that came down today regarding Virginia. This was big, so I'm going to go ahead and play Cut 55.
We have breaking news now from the Supreme Court, which is allowing the state of Virginia to move ahead with a purge of its voter rolls. This is after a lower court had found that the purge was happening too close to Election Day. Let's get more from NBC's Ken Delaney and fill us in here, Ken.
Yeah, Anna, the conservatives on the Supreme Court are allowing this purge to go forward that not only a federal district judge, but the appeals court deemed was illegal under federal law after the Justice Department sued Virginia. And the issue here is that federal law says you can't purge voter rolls within 90 days of an election. Virginia is saying that these people are all non-citizens based on a form that they filled out at the Motor Vehicle Department.
Well, I mean, so MSNBC is a biased hack network, so they call it purging. These are people who are not citizens, so they should not be on the voter rolls in general. All right, I'm told we have Rich Barris, but that was an important update out of Virginia. Rich, welcome to the show. I have so much to discuss with you in so little time, brother. I know you just finished your own show, which is amazing, and I want everybody to check it out. Rich does his show Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Please watch it, record it, check it out after you're done with the Charlie Kirk Show. Got to take care of home base here first, Rich. But do check out Rich's show. It's amazing. The guy knows data and polls like nobody else in the business. We love Rich. So, Rich, 30,000-foot view. How are we looking right now? And then I have a specific question.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be a different year. I've tried to explain to people that you know, think of it like when you're looking at the early vote and, you know, how what it means for the overall results. You know, you're basically trying to bake the same cake, right, Andrew? But sometimes you just add different ingredients at different times. But ultimately, you're still using the same recipe to win, right? To bake that cake, right?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So like, but there is some caveats to this. And that is, the research is very clear. Voters vote, and their voting method is greatly influenced by the party and the party's leader's strategies for getting out the vote and what they tell people to do. So Democrats have, you know, embraced early vote and vote early, not just early, but early, early. And because of that, in recent election cycles, we have really seen them put their best foot forward. And then sometimes they have a little burst at the end, but for the most part, that's how they intend to vote. So Republicans are voting at, you know, exceptionally high rates for early voting. And I got to tell you, we just you know, had a national poll that it's embargoed still for a little bit, but it won't be for long. I could talk to you about it now. But it actually is much more in line with what we know about the early vote than some of the other polls we have seen. And, you know, ultimately, the Democrats are underperforming. There's no way around it. They need a bigger surge at some point here in several of these key states. They do.
All right. So, Rich, perfect setup. Underperforming, they need a surge. We've talked about John Ralston in Nevada saying, hey, it's not time to panic yet, but these votes aren't coming in. I don't know where the Clark County firewall is. PA, their 1.1 million firewall out of 2020 is down to what, like 380,000? I have no idea what that is, but I do see something concerning, Rich, and I want to get your take on this. Women are outperforming men right now. It's like 55-45. It's concerning if you're a Republican because you think the hidden abortion vote, you're thinking females tend to gravitate to the Democrat Party a little bit more, at least that the gender divide in this election is such. Are we concerned? Because you can see from partisan voter affiliation, Nevada, Arizona, other places that Republicans are outperforming, and yet we have this gender divide. Make it make sense.
Let me help you make it make sense right now. So when we were researching how to get Republicans to vote early, I mean, it's a dramatic change in behavior you're asking people to do in a very short period of time. What became very clear right away is that Republican women were much more willing to vote early. They were willing to change their behavior. They were easier to convince. Andrew, we were even testing phrases, words, right? And men were just turned off a lot more, but they were skeptical about early voting. You can't call it here's a great example. You can't say vote early and put it in a drop box. Can't do it. You say the word drop box, men, especially Republican leaning men and Republican men, they're out. They're gone, Andrew, and they're not doing it. Drop box is crooked to them, and that's it. Most voters don't like drop boxes, by the way. But if you say vote early and drop it in a secured location, Republican men will say, okay, tell me more. So it absolutely, positively does not surprise me that even among Republicans, women are more of the vote when it comes to the early vote. Early in person, men like that more, especially Republican men. When it comes to dropping off on election day, right? They don't mind that. Arizona, you know it well, right? Those people who come in and drop off to the polling place on election day, love that. And then the polling that we did, which people should go and digest and look at, you're going to see that in action. Even later mail will start to be more mail than it was, you know, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, but definitely the early in person as it gets closer to election day. And it already is, you can kind of see it already. In person, men will vote closer to and on election day.
So to sum it up, though, Rich, you're more at this point because of the tendency for men to not want to vote early as much as women. Yeah. At this point, you're more looking at the partisan divides and extrapolating that nationally to get the trend. So you're more looking at the R's versus the D. You think that's more important than the gender divide?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. And by the way, okay. I mean, it wasn't this big in 2020, but we did see, of course, more female in the early vote than male. And at the end of the day, it was 48.1% male and 51.9% female. It could end up being the case that it's a more female election. 2020 was more male than 2016. These things do change back and forth here and there a little bit, but men are not suddenly going to drop off and be 45% of the electorate. I don't believe it. Number two, it's never really, that's a dramatic change from one year over the other. They just indicate to us that they are much more likely to want to vote on election day. And a lot of these states just started in-person early voting, Andrew. They just started it. Yeah. Right. So last Saturday, Michigan just started it. So give it some time.
So that's great insight, Rich. I think that's fantastic. Plus, I mean, it seems like a lot of Republican women are part of this early voting tsunami huge. That's been happening on our side.
But
so
real quick, Republican women fueled Donald Trump's nomination, not Republican men. This is something we had been going over for a very long time. In most of the early key states, Donald Trump was polling higher with Republican women than he was with Republican men. Republican men were much more likely in certain states to want to support Ron DeSantis than women were. All right. So we just forget this stuff sometimes. We really do.
Interesting. No, that's fascinating. So, Rich, this is going to be true for probably either side of the aisle here, but Pennsylvania, the blue wall being so critically important. And Rich, I'm hearing the Trump campaign is most concerned about Wisconsin or Michigan. Is that your impression as well? And why?
It is. Attitudinally, Pennsylvania just seems to be much more Trumpy when you poll it. But then again, Andrew, I'm telling you, this has been the case. And it's been the case for a while. We'll see Wisconsin. It just pulls all sorts of screwy and weird. It does because it's more, it tends to be more rural. That being said, Pennsylvania has more Appalachian counties. You know, has the only one, you know, 50 plus out of all of Pennsylvania's counties are actually Appalachian region counties.
You were talking about how Wisconsin is screwy. Now, I saw a post, and I'm curious if you've heard this and if you agree or disagree. I read a post that showed a correlation, weirdly, between Nevada and Wisconsin, that they tend to go together. Why would that be? Is it true? Is it untrue? Is it something you could sort of like look toward? Because Nevada's early vote is trending very, very well. So maybe that's a harbinger of good things to come for Republicans.
Look, I mean, sometimes we can find these weird correlations. One of them that I love to tell people about is Duval County, Florida, trends very much in line with the entire state of Georgia. It's very weird, but we find these patterns. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin is, it does have a good share of Catholics in it, as does Nevada, which is a big deal. We talked about this on the show earlier today on my show. Trump's lead with Catholics, no candidate has ever lost with this advantage among Catholic voters. By the way, as we were speaking, Quinnipiac released their final poll in Pennsylvania. It's Trump plus two. So it's like all weirdly, all these left-wing pollsters.
What do you think of Quinnipiac? What do you think about Quinnipiac?
They have an extreme Democratic bias. And I think that they've tried to correct a little bit. But they did decent. And, I mean, look, they missed every battleground state in 16 and 20. Folks, they projected that Biden was going to win Ohio. Their final poll in 2020 was Biden up in Ohio by 4. And that was a day after they got criticized for a Biden plus 5.
We won by 8 or 9, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we won. Same thing with Iowa.
But they have corrected a little bit, right? I mean, they have corrected. Well, it's noteworthy because this is a Democratic-leaning poll, and they even have Trump up too. And what are you seeing in your numbers in PA?
Yeah, we do different ballot scenarios. So depending on the ballot scenarios, Trump has a different lead. On the full ballot, Trump has got about a 2-point lead. And on the head-to-head, when among likely voters without the other people on the ballot, his lead expands. So in Pennsylvania, it's one of those states where having third parties on the ballot is actually hurting Donald Trump. In Michigan, it's helping him. But it's very, very it's not a simple question. When Kennedy was still in the race and his name will still be on some of those ballots, it was never a simple question looking at a national poll, who's going to hurt who. The states are have their own little niches. They have their own demographic makeups, even though they have a lot of overlapping demographics in the northern Great Lakes states, but they still have their own little quirks. And it was a complicated question, you know, who's going to hurt who down ballot, right? But I do think, though, look, you know, when Quinnipiac looks like big data poll, Andrew, then come on. Wisconsin just put theirs out and they have Harris up by 1. They had Clinton up by 6, right? When we had Trump up by 1 and we were right, they were wrong. Like everyone loves some of these polls. They love citing these polls, but it is important to check the track record, right? And Biden was grossly overstated in Wisconsin in 2020. So it's like you just got to kind of ignore some of the top lines about what the pollster thinks the voter's going to do. And I hate to say this, but I think this is true this year. There's a lot of hurting, right? There's a lot of hurting going on. And there's a lot of hesitancy to put out the numbers that are coming back more in the raw. The safer bet is to give Harris maybe a tiny marginal edge. This way, if you're wrong, and Trump sweeps those three states or any of those states that you ever up in, you could say, well, we weren't really right. See, it was close and we were in the sampling era. That is happening. It's happening everywhere. And I hate to say it and call it out because, you know, I don't like criticizing anybody, but it's true.
Well, of course.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Americans are tired and frustrated by a stalling economy, inflation, endless wars, and the relentless assault on our values. Thankfully, there's companies like Patriot Mobile that still believe in America and our Constitution. I'm proud to partner with Patriot Mobile because they're on the front lines fighting for the First and Second Amendments, sanctity of life, and our military and first responder heroes. Take a stand for conservative causes and put America first by switching to Patriot Mobile today. You'll get the same nationwide coverage as the big providers because Patriot Mobile operates across all three major networks. Plus, they back their service with a coverage guarantee. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team will find the best plan for your needs. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Right now, get a free month when you use offer code Charlie. Don't get fooled by other providers pretending to share your values or the same coverage. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie, patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
Rich, let's analyze this. So I saw this clip because Mark McKinnon actually from the Showtime The Circus came down and filmed one of our events at University of Georgia.
Yeah,
it was super cool. He's actually gone on a whole press tour, the Vanity Fair article about the magification of young men. So his perspective, he said this on CNN, he thinks that there's a hidden female vote because of abortion, because of the blowback from Dobbs, all of this stuff. And so he gives the edge to Harris. But he said, you know, seeing what he saw at UGA sobered him up a bit. So what is your number showing about this hidden Dobbs voter, female voter? And maybe it's not so hidden. Are we not seeing that anywhere? I mean, I guess I'm really asking, Rich, is like worst case scenarios, because I think we're all getting high on our own supply here, seeing these early voting totals. What is the worst case scenario? How does Harris pull this off?
Okay, well, first, let me just preface what I'm about to say with don't get high on your own supply. Go vote and don't stop. Don't stop. Understand this, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on your show, Andrew. Democrats cheat in many different ways, and they will do whatever it is they feel like they have to do to win. You have to overcome that, and you have to vote, and the numbers are there to do it, but you have to execute, and you have to do it, all right? I'm from the tri-state area. I've been watching elections, you know, funny business for years. It's just ridiculous to to give the Secretary of State, the clerk, the benefit of the doubt that all these areas in Pennsylvania were turning away people all at once yesterday with the same excuse. Like, this is the stuff they do. You have to outvote it. So how could you pull it off, though? This is the tough question at this point. Her best path remains, and this is why Trump is the favorite in my mind. It's a matter of likelihood. Trump has more paths to 270 than Harris does. And those paths, once upon a time, you know, that she had outlined, I'm going to go through these states in the Sun Belt and then pluck off one of these or two of these, at least in the Rust Belt. A lot of the truth is a lot of those paths have been closed to her now. So I'm not going to get into which ones and where, but her best path remains denying Donald Trump Great Lakes states, the Midwest states. That's it. He cannot have Pennsylvania. He cannot have Wisconsin. He cannot have Michigan. So, I mean, that is her best chance. There was talk, a lot of talk about North Carolina because of the governor's scandal, blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm old enough to remember when Cooper had an 18-point lead over Forrest in the gubernatorial polling with Marist College. Even Robinson's not down that much right now. So, like, there's no such thing as reverse coattails. It's never happened. It's been studied. It isn't a thing. Presidential vote is not impacted by the governor's election. It's ludicrous. So, again, that leaves her with a very small, narrow path, and that is holding Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. She cannot give up any one of those. And, of course, Nebraska, too.
Yeah, right. Nebraska, too. Yeah, she's got to hold that. She will probably hold Nebraska, too, from what I'm seeing. But Don Bacon looks like he's got a good chance. Anyways, Rich, I'm going to play this ad for you, and I want to zero in the little time we have remaining on the female topic. Play cut 74.
Your turn, honey.
In the one place in America where women still have a right to choose. you can vote any way you want. And no one will ever know.
Did you make the right choice?
Sure did, honey.
Remember, what happens in the booth stays in the booth. Vote Harris Waltz. Vote Common Good is responsible for the contents of this ad.
Truly disgusting ad, basically telling women to lie to their husbands about who they voted for.
Yeah.
But it's disgusting. I mean, there's so much wrong with this ad. I don't even know where to begin. But in the limited time we have left, Rich, about a minute, they are banking everything on this woman vote. Are you seeing it in the data?
Look, by the way, true empowerment would just be to have a conversation with your husband about who you're going to vote for and be in a relationship where that's okay. But let me just say this. In our poll that we just put out, you know, it looked when they did the switcheroo, Andrew, like abortion maybe making a comeback, but it never got above the third most important issue. It was trading with immigration and border security. We always had inflation, cost of living, economy and jobs. And then when they did the switcheroo, abortion took the lead for 1 month in our polling and it has fallen back to there has been a consistent 1 out of 10 that say that abortion is their number one issue. And she leads. That is her biggest margin. They would have to seriously drum this up because it isn't Republican women. Like that woman they just showed on that screen is not the demographic that votes on abortion. She's not the demographic that tells us this is who, this is the danger for Republican candidates. That is a conservative wife they just showed right there.
Yeah, 100%. Rich, dive into the numbers, these female numbers.
Okay, so actually didn't think it was going to be right there, but look. There was we're talking about two months ago at this point where we did see independent women, because honestly, they would need them to agree with them on their voting priority. They would need them. They have since tapered off, Andrew. And what we saw, and because it's not just the new numbers, it is a trend where immigration started to pull away from abortion as the number three issue. And now it's at 17 compared to 10.7 for abortion. That's the entire vote, by the way, not just the likely voting electorate. Inflation and cost of living, 30%. Economy and jobs, 18%. Immigration, 17%. And then abortion way back there at 10%. Her margin among the voters who choose abortion is slightly smaller than the margin that he is winning immigration and border security voters. So this is, it's not just one. Yeah. I mean, this is what people have to understand.
Well,
he's winning inflation and cost of living by about 11 points. He's winning economy and jobs by only about 7 now. It's not as big as it once was. And then she's winning abortion. He's winning immigration and border security voters by nearly 20 points. And she's winning, abortion voters by about 18 points. So it could end up that's a bigger margin. She would need that to be a much bigger margin and a much closer margin with those other issues. He leads in 3 out of 4 top voting issues, with abortion being number 4. And then 5 is threats to democracy. And guess what? That's Harris plus 1. That's it. Because they surrendered that with lawfare. That once upon a time was about January 6th.
Yeah, you're right. Think about how much time in ink has been spilled about that one topic. Rich, thank you for your time. I know you got to work. Rich is going to be helping us with some exit polling. So, Rich, I know you got to go work on that. And we'll have you on again soon, man. Yeah.
All the
best.
Thanks,
brother.
Are you worried about the future of the U.S. economy? With so much uncertainty in the air, it's natural to fret about the security of your retirement savings. But there's one asset that stands the test of time, and that is gold. For centuries, gold has been a hedge against market volatility and economic instability. With a gold IRA from Noble Gold Investments, you can harness the power of precious metals to help protect your financial future. By rolling over your existing IRA or 401k into a self-directed gold IRA, you can enjoy the potential for long-term growth and stability. Diversify your portfolio with a tangible asset that has real value. Setting up your gold IRA has never been easier with Noble Gold Investments' streamlined process and expert guidance. This election year, don't let election volatility and uncertainty keep you up at night. Vote for the timeless safety of gold and silver in 2024. Noble Gold Investments will help you with up to 10 1-ounce silver Trump coins or 10-ounce silver American flag bar if you open a qualified account. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com.
We are joined now by the great Mike Davis, and he might have a guest with him. I can't see him yet. Mike Davis, Article 3 Project. And this is going to be a discussion all about the lawfare strategy. Rich brought up that the shenanigans that we can expect, and we're going to dive right into it. Mike, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you. We got Maureen Bannon here, too, because I'm in New York City on the Bannon War Room set.
Awesome. Maureen Bannon, CEO of War Room. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me as a surprise guest on.
Absolutely. Well, so we should start there then. Maureen, tell us, how's your dad doing? We saw him on War Room. He seems like a honey badger, his old self, right out the gate. If not, like, he's like white Gandalf. He like comes back and he's even more forceful and powerful. What, tell us what it's like inside the family, inside War Room right now.
We're very happy to have him back. We did amazing while he was away, and I think that the left thought that they were going to have War Room just fold and disappear, you know, in his absence, and we stayed strong. We had amazing guest hosts, but, you know, as he said yesterday, he's not broken, he's empowered. He came out ready more than ever to help secure a victory for Donald J. Trump on November 5th, and I think that it's amazing, but he didn't skip a beat. Back to work as usual. I mean, he came out and did his show at 10 a.m. yesterday, and it just shows you that by putting him in Danbury, you didn't break him. You just made him even stronger.
Well, and the timing of it couldn't be better. I mean, you can feel it in the base, the energy level rose, even if that was even possible when he got out and we saw him on War Room. Charlie joined him yesterday at the end of the show for the handoff, and it felt like we're back. You know, the rhythm felt back instantly. So we're so happy to have him back. We're glad he's empowered. He's not broken. You can see that in his eyes. And I, you know, and actually it was a segment, Mike, that you had on War Room that inspired me to reach out to you for this segment. And that is this idea of the lawfare strategy. You know, much has been made in the wake of 2020. Are we going to have our lawyers out? Are they going to have their lawyers out? What kind of shenanigans are they going to try and pull? We have now seen that Mark Elias is, you know, been hired by the Harris-Waltz campaign for the recount effort, quote unquote. What can you tell us about that, Mike? And, you know, what is the cause for concern, if there is any?
I think President Trump learned his lesson from 2020, Andrew, and he's actually spending the money and hiring good attorneys to file the lawsuits and get the injunctions before the election. Because if you try to file lawsuits after the election, after the Democrats rig and steal the election, it's very hard to get judges to find the backbone to actually do something about it. That means they would have to overturn the entire state's election, and a lot of these judges just don't have the fortitude to do that. And so Trump's hiring good lawyers at both on the campaign with Harmeet Dhillon and Dave Warrington leading the effort there. And then at the RNC chairman Michael Whatley is doing a really good job this time on the legal effort. And, you know, we're never going to be as good as Mark Elias on the Republican side, but we are in a place now where it's not going to get rigged and stolen again in 2024. We just saw this, Andrew, at the Supreme Court today. Mark Elias just got his ass kicked at the Supreme Court on non-citizen voting, where you had the six Republican-appointed constitutional justices say that this Virginia Biden federal judge is not going to put 1,600 self-identified non-citizens back onto the Virginia rolls. The Biden and Harris know that Trump is actually going to be very competitive in Virginia, so they're trying to rig and steal it in Virginia by putting non-citizens on the rolls, and the Supreme Court just stopped them. So it's a very good sign, and we're going to win this thing. I would say this to your listeners, as long as we continue to show up, Trump supporters continue to show up and vote as early as possible, bank your vote and vote in massive numbers, we're going to win this thing, and the lawyers are not going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the hope, right, isn't it, Mike, that we too big to rig. You hear this, the Trump campaign says it, we say it. I think that's really right. And by the way, a lot of the Democrat firewalls that we've seen in the past with early voting are not there in the numbers that they need them to be, which means it's a modeling and a turnout issue at this point, right? So those firewalls, so Dems have a 380,000 vote firewall in Pennsylvania. They had a 1.1 million. They could still win this if we don't show up, right? So that's the key. It's like, so don't take any of this predictions to the bank. We got to do the work. We got to show up. We got to turn out. Now, I want to turn our attention to this video. This is Cut 64. This was in Doylestown, Pennsylvania yesterday. You have Josh Shapiro tweeting out saying, hey, if you're in line by 5 o'clock, they can't turn you away. You get in line by five, you can get the early vote. Meanwhile, we have security services putting out end of line and blocking people from the vote. I saw this because Michael Whatley tweeted out. So you already brought him up. So I think he's doing a great job in here. Let's go ahead and play Cut 64.
It's 2:41 and they are ending the line.
So that was a security personnel, might have been a police officer, I'm not sure, putting a sign at the end of the line saying end of line. And it was at 2:41 in the afternoon. They're supposed to be able to vote by until 5 or get in line. The RNC's filing suit there, are they not, Mike? That's what I've heard.
They are, and they should, because I'll tell you what, if those are actually police officers suppressing the vote, they're going to have some very serious problems with the Trump 47 Justice Department, particularly the Civil Rights Division, because if you're using your authority as a police officer, the color of law, to suppress votes, that is a very serious federal civil rights crime. So I hope that these police officers and other security officials get very clear legal direction so they're not violating the law.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And then there was another instance also highlighted by Michael Whatley. A woman was telling people to stay in line in Pennsylvania, and they arrested her for it. Play Cut 65.
Wow. That's crazy. You locked her up? That is insane, man. She is not influencing people. She is not at all.
All right, so this woman was basically saying, you can stay in line until 5 o'clock. Don't let them turn you away. And I guess she gets arrested for what? Incitement or trying to influence voters? Mike, break it down for us.
That's a very good question. And they better point to a very clear viewpoint and content neutral law that says that they can arrest someone for doing that. I'd be surprised if there is one. And that, you know, that be separate from state laws, there's also the First Amendment. So I that one's a head scratcher to me. They better have a very good explanation for arresting someone like that, because you're violating someone's civil rights if you don't.
Maureen, I want to take it to you. Take me into the heartbeat of the war room posse right now. What are you guys seeing? What are you hearing? What is the drumbeat coming from Steve and the war room posse such as yourself?
The whole message that he had while he was in Danbury and now is get out the vote. Everyone must get out the vote. And like we've seen in these clips, you need to stay in line. Don't let someone try and tell you that you can't vote. Your vote matters. And you, whatever you can to get out and vote. And not only you, but your friends, family, anyone that you know. And don't let someone try and deter you from doing that. And I think that that's the message that we've been reiterating on the show, you know, while my dad was away, now, and just that the left is going to try and push people from not casting their vote. And that's exactly what we don't need. And I think that, as my dad would say, action, action, action. Everyone needs to get involved in making sure that we all get out to vote to help secure victory for Donald J. Trump on November 5th.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback on what you're saying here. You know, there all of this conversation, especially in the last cycle, about, you know, do we trust our voting system, the integrity of the election? It's like, well, of course we have issues with a lot of things. But what you're hearing from this show, what you're hearing from Charlie, what you're hearing from Steve, what you're hearing from the president, Mike Davis, we have to do our part. We have to get out and vote. We're not using that as an excuse, any issues or concerns. We're saying all of that is motivation to fight harder, to lawyer up earlier, to attack these issues sooner. And so I hope everybody in the audience gets the memo. Like, this is not an excuse. None of these issues that we are highlighting is an excuse not to activate and get out and go vote. As a matter of fact, it's more motivation. We're trying to stay vigilant. We're trying to raise the alarm with issues as we see them, so we can put the fires out earlier and we can actually take action where we need to. Now, Mike, I want to pivot to this idea of what happens after the election. So Mark Elias is apparently hired for the recount, was some of the reporting I was seeing. Do you think there's a plausible situation here? If we swarm the polls, are they going to try? I mean, many of these states are going to keep counting for multiple days. There was a ruling in Nevada where they're going to be able to keep counting votes for like 3 days or 4 days afterwards. Are we going to have a battle on our hands to get this election certified?
Well, there is an important Fifth Circuit case that just came out, written by Andrew Oldham, a fantastic Trump-appointed judge down there, a federal appellate judge, and joined by two other appellate judges, that says that under our federal statutes, you have to have ballots cast and received by Election Day. You can't keep dragging this on for days after the election. That's not what federal the statute calls for, as it deals with the federal races, as like for president, for U.S. Senate, U.S. House. I think the Supreme Court is going to be very receptive to that argument, because think about what's happening here, Andrew. They're going to say that we're going to let ballots come in after the election, 3, 4, 5 days after the election, that aren't even postmarked. That is just ripe for fraud, and that's just not going to happen. At a minimum, those ballots need to be segregated from the other ballots.
We're officially in that time of year where eating becomes way off balanced. Parties, holidays, and family gatherings always mean more snacks, more sweets, and generally indulging all the wrong foods. As it gets darker, you just try to eat more. You're not outside as much. When your eating habits get off balance, so can you. That's why I strongly recommend Balance of Nature Daily Supplements. They're fruits and veggies. Supplements are sourced from whole fruits and vegetable ingredients. All the things you may be missing, all the things that you need to make up for being off balance during this eating season. Make sure you're getting more variety of fruits and vegetable ingredients every step of the way with Balance of Nature. That is balanceofnature.com. Start a trend towards a better health today with a special startup offer. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use promo code CHARLIE to get 35% off plus shipping and their money-back guarantee. Call them at 800-246-8751 and use discount code CHARLIE, or online at balanceofnature.com, discount code CHARLIE, to get 35% off.
Breaking news, Mike Davis and Maureen Bannon. Breaking: a Pennsylvania judge has just ruled in favor of the Trump campaign, ordering that in-person early voting be extended 3 extra days in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, until 5 p.m. Eastern on Friday. This is huge. Mike Davis, it's almost like what you're saying about Trump's legal efforts being more successful and kicking Mark Elias's butt in real time is unfolding before our eyes.
That's very true. I think it was your show, Andrew, that did it, because that judge apparently just jumped after he heard you talking. No, but this is great news, because you have to make sure that people can vote. The election officials have to follow the law. Just imagine if this were reversed. Imagine if you were in a predominantly black voting district in Philadelphia. If this happened, there would be outrage, and there should be outrage, right? So you can't do this for Trump's voters as well. So this is a good result. It will remedy this. And this is, it's also, it proves the point we've been making, Andrew, with Charlie and others: vote as early as possible, because you don't want to wait till Election Day and have something like this happen to you, and then you can't vote. It's too late. So vote as early as possible. So if something like this happens, you have the opportunity to try again before November 5th.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, listen, we would all appreciate if voting went back to, you know, one day, paper ballots, voter ID, all the things, right? Same day counting, all of that. But in this current environment, especially when we have the wind at our back, I think we're winning in the pollings, we have this late momentum surge, we can use early voting as a massive, massive advantage. Think about it. We have so much more time to get our people out, and there's more of us than them in this election. There just simply are. In a state that has more, especially in a state like Arizona, where you have more registered Republicans than Democrats, that gives us a distinct advantage. We're seeing that also in Nevada. We're seeing it in Pennsylvania, where the firewall is abysmally low. We're seeing it in North Carolina. We're seeing it in Georgia. So this, we can use this to our advantage, and I think your point's well made, Mike. We got to get out early, 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 as soon as possible. If you're listening to the sound of my voice or Mike's voice or Maureen's voice, You got to get out. Do it right now. Get out there and vote. Maureen, everything is pointed in getting out to vote. What is your dad's plans for the next couple of days? What is War Room plan for the next couple of days? Are you guys out on the trail? Are you guys going to just be hitting this message, the drumbeat? Tell us, give us an insight into the War Room posse.
Well, we'll definitely be live on air. I can let you know that. The rest is to be determined, but we will be definitely, my dad will be behind the mic between now and election day, encouraging the posse and everyone that watches your show and all the shows on RAV to get out to vote, because that's really what we need in order to help secure a victory. And not just for Donald J. Trump, but we also need America First candidates in the House, in the Senate. So we need to all, like you said, get out and vote. And I highly, highly encourage to go vote early, because like you said, Andrew, you don't want to go on election day and have something happen and you're not able to cast your vote. So we all need to get out there to make sure that our vote counts.
All right. I totally agree. And our anthem here is vote now. Not even vote early. November 5th is the last day of voting. Every day is a voting day. Go vote now. Vote now. Vote now. So, Mike, I want to make sure you have a chance to finish your point on what could go wrong after this election day, what the Dems have pulled. Give us some assurances. Mike, 1 minute.
Well, I'd say this. I think that what you guys are doing at Turning Point, Charlie Kirk, Andrew, you guys are turning out the grassroots in overwhelming numbers. We're seeing it with early with voter registration, with early voting, with the polling. We need to continue that. Vote now, as you said, vote early, vote now. And so we don't have to worry about the legal fight. But I'll tell you that President Trump and his legal team learned their lesson from 2020. We are not going to let this election get rigged and stolen again. No matter what Mark Elias tries, we're going to beat him. We just beat him at the Supreme Court today in a huge decision on non-citizen voting in Virginia. I mean, that's pretty bad. If Kamala Harris is worried that she's going to lose Virginia, that shows that we're on offense. So keep it up, keep up the heat, and make sure that we run through the finish line.
Well, I appreciate all of those notes, Mike. That's huge, and we got to get the House too. I'm worried, you know, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. We're not going to worry about that right now because we're just going to sprint through the finish line. Last thing I'll say, guys, is she just canceled ad buys in North Carolina. We're hearing she's doing ad buys a day at a time, not weekly. I don't know what's behind that. Cash flow issues, something. Very, very interesting stuff. Guys, thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.